Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Congress is one step closer to passing criminal justice reform. On Thursday, the Senate emerged with a bipartisan plan to reduce the number of inmates in federal prisons by cutting mandatory sentences for nonviolent offenders and promoting early release for a segment of the population. Here's Illinois Senator Dick Durbin.
We believe that there are people who are incarcerated today for lengthy sentences at great expense who frankly should not be in those prisons.
The plan from the Senate comes after the House of Representatives introduced a similar bill this summer. Now, there's plenty of criticism of that compromise in Congress, that it doesn't go far enough, and we'll see if they get it done. But Congress is only dealing with the federal system. Most prisoners in this country are in state penitentiaries and local jails, and states have been trying reforms for some time. In Texas, a handful of prisons have closed in recent years, and they've seen a decrease in violent crime at the same time. Here to tell us how they did it, Mark Levin. He's director for the Center for Effective Justice at the Texas Public Policy Foundation and policy director for Right on Crime. Mark Levin, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I just said something that seems to be the holy grail of prison and criminal justice reform in some ways. Prisons have closed in Texas. At the same time, violent crime is down. How'd you do it?
Well, that's right. We've seen over the last several years a 24% drop in the crime rate and a 12% drop in the incarceration rate. And actually, other states have followed suit: Georgia, Mississippi, Ohio, South Carolina, Utah, many of which are very conservative states like Texas. And the answer is by strengthening alternatives to incarceration, particularly for nonviolent offenders, things like drug courts, where someone is held accountable, they drug tested, they have to hold a job, support their family, but they don't go to prison. And frankly, the research has shown you get a lot better outcomes because people can keep their connections with family, with employment. When people go to prison, they actually tend to encounter people who are a higher risk than themselves. And so people, particularly those that weren't a high risk to begin with, that were drug users, had an addiction, they come out of prison worse than when they came in. That's kind of the key. And what happened is when we saw from the mid-70s to the mid-2000s a six-fold increase in incarceration in this country, it actually drained resources and state corrections budgets away from things like probation, drug courts, mental health treatment, a whole host of things. And we've had advances in technology and things like drug treatment. There's now non-narcotic treatments for heroin and other opiates. States are increasingly taking advantage of new techniques and technologies.
What about people already in prison? What is Texas doing about the length of sentences and about preparing people for society once they come out?
Well, that's a great question. We did, in fact, increase the capacity of our in-prison treatment programs. And in Texas, the most people who are paroled are granted parole with the condition of completing a six-month in-prison treatment program. And there were waiting lists of many months to get into those programs. And so we cleared those out. And then there was also waiting lists for people to get into state-subsidized halfway houses. We were able to clear out that backlog that was keeping people in prison even after they were granted parole. Now, the other thing, though, is breaking down the barriers that prevent people from employment. So we've done things like provisional occupational licenses where someone who's otherwise qualified to be a barber or a plumber, they can go ahead and get that license and get going, and then it automatically becomes a permanent license if they don't violate probation, parole. Then the other thing is we passed legislation saying that landlords can't be sued for renting to ex-offenders, and also that employers can't be sued for hiring ex-offenders. So there's still more work to be done in this area, but the biggest thing was in this 2015 legislative session in Texas was expanding our law on sealing, getting your record sealed in order of non-disclosure so that it applies to certain convictions, not just people who are granted deferred adjudication.
Mark Levin, what do you think about the reforms that seem to be coming out of Congress? They're going to debate these. They don't go nearly as far as what you're talking about in Texas, but limiting mandatory minimums in some cases, giving judges some discretion back on sentences. There are some other things in there, too. What are your first impressions?
Well, we've been working closely with various members of Congress on this, and we're really pleased that, frankly, the things that are on the table, no one would have thought possible 5 or 10 years ago. You've even seen certain members of Congress, like Chairman Grassley, who was thought to be against many of these things, has really looked at the research and opened himself up to really some significant changes. As we look at it, there's a host of bills, but the two largest ones are this new Senate package that came out yesterday, as well as the SAFE Act in the House. Of the two, the SAFE Relief Act is more comprehensive and a bit stronger, but the Senate package is certainly a great start. And our hope is that some of the best items can be taken from each of those and that something major can be passed before the end of the year.
Mark Levin is director of the Center for Effective Justice at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Mark Levin, thanks a lot.
Thank you.